Good morning, and thank you, Stephen, for inviting me. If I say anything that upsets you, it's my fault, not his. He's never heard me before, though he's a brave man. I just, first of all, want to say thank you to this fellowship for lots of reasons. For a start, I work up at Chatsworth Surgery, and this fellowship has been such a support. You've helped us with our outreaches, with dishing out mince pies, and just loving patients who come to that practice. You've helped us with our gospel healing nights. You've welcomed people who we've sent your way. You've taken food round to people in need. Thank you. This is an amazing fellowship. You may not be feeling very amazing at the moment, but I think you're amazing, and I really appreciate this church. Thank you. I want to actually speak from about five chapters. Is it 2 hours, is that about right? Do you say? I was asking the Lord what I should bring. And the first thing that came to mind was Joshua chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. I'm going... anyway, yeah, okay. I'll do what I think I'm meant to do. So, but I'm starting in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Oh, thank you. Wonderful. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, everyone? Yeah, good. So Deuteronomy 33, this really is edited highlights of these chapters, so just relax. It's really not going to be that long. Famous last words. So Moses is about to die, and this is the... His prophetic declarations to each tribe before he goes up the mountain to die. So he goes through each tribe and he calls out their identity and their destiny. So it's really very much like New Testament prophecy. Old Testament prophecy can be a bit scary, lots of threats of judgment. But in the New Testament it's for encouragement, for comfort, exhortation. Is that right? So this is very much like that. Everything, there's nothing negative in here. He reminds them of who they are and where they're going. And prophecy, we need prophecy to remind us who we are and where we're going. Especially, dare I say, in East Lancashire, where we think we're rubbish. I'm sure you don't, but the culture is like of a, well, we're only small. Who are we? I'm only me. What can I do? Well, how are you? Well, you know, please, we're sons and daughters of the King. This fellowship has incredible potential. Each one of you has incredible potential because we are sons and daughters of the King. Who is it that said one with God is a majority? So there's a whole bunch of you here. Stand by Blackburn. We need the prophetic word. So, for instance, just about Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's cub springing out of Bashan. So just two lines, he describes Dan's identity, but also their destiny. They were going to be occupying the northeast part of the land. Because very often when we hear prophetic words or where verses of the Bible leap out the page at us about describing who we are, we don't really believe it. And we need the prophetic work. Well, speaking personally, it takes me a few times when somebody says something that's a bit like, I'm not like that. Well, God thinks you are. Okay, well, I believe you up here. It takes a little while before we start to believe, actually, we're amazing. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you're amazing. So, I know you encourage the prophetic, but we all need more. Because for the church to grow, we need both the pastoral, but also the prophetic. Yes, it's fine to bring comfort and encourage and nurture, but also they will actually, yes, I know you think you're like this and you're like that and you're going here, but actually that's where you're going and that's who you are. And it's always a stretch because he always thinks far more of us than we think of ourselves. Chapter 34. That wasn't too long, was it? There's one gone. The death of Moses. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. And Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them." So, first of all, Bible's falling apart. I know that you've had, there's a change in your leadership, and I'm not trying to draw too much parallel here, so please don't, I don't know you well enough to be that cheeky, so. But I still feel this is what I'm meant to bring. I will just say, though, that I want to honour Dave and Lorraine. When we first went to West End Christian Fellowship a long time ago, we were a little bit vulnerable, and Keith and Sue and Dave and Lorraine welcomed us in, and they became friends. We ended up, I ended up being part of the team that actually sent Dave and Keith out to start Darwin Community Church. Now, at that point, Janet and I ran away to Clitheroe, so we lost contact a little bit. But there's been contact through the practice, and Dave has been such a great supporter a friend for the practice, as well as the fellowship generally. So I just wanted to say that before I say anything else, in case you think I'm thinking something different. Is that okay? That's the awkward bit over. Sorry. So, obviously it's very different because for a start, Dave's not died and he's not Moses and we're not the people of Israel and a number of other things. So, just to be quite clear, there's a number of things that are just not parallel. So, having said that, the Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the weeping and mourning was over. So the first thing I wanted to say from the first chapter was, which tribe are you? Which tribe, I don't mean literally, in the church of Blackburn with Darwin are you? Which bit of the land, I don't mean necessarily geographically, but which bit of the land, what is your flavour? What is your identity? What is your destiny? So that was the first thing I wanted to say, which I forgot. The second thing was, The time of grieving and mourning is over. It's time to go into the promised land. I was really excited that you're having a vision evening coming up, because I'm sweating about this, thinking, is this really what I'm meant to be saying? So I'm encouraged that you're going for that. You're already doing what I'm talking about. But I feel like the Lord is saying the time of weeping and mourning is over. It's time to go into the promised land. And then moving over swiftly to Joshua. Before I do that, though, the wilderness is not a bad place. People say, oh, I'm in the wilderness, you know. Well, maybe. You might just be disobedient and not spending your time with the Lord. But actually, they were in the wilderness because they've been disobedient, but it wasn't a bad place. I mean, they saw more miraculous stuff than we see as the New Testament. So they had the pillar of cloud, the glory cloud in the day that was guiding them, the pillar of fire at night. They had supernatural provision of bread or manna every morning, meat in the evening. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. This was constant miracles. Every day was miraculous. So the wilderness was an amazing place of training, because God wastes nothing. He gets us ready. He's getting you ready. It's exciting. But the promised land is different. So in the wilderness, there weren't any battles except internal ones where they argue with each other and moan. But in the promised land, to get in there for a start, there's risks and there's battles, because the enemy doesn't want you there. You can wander in the desert for as long as you like, enjoying the fellowship, enjoying the supernatural provision, enjoying the healing. But as soon as you go into the promised land, there'll be opposition. So, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. So, he'd already promised the children of Israel this land. So it was already theirs. Except that he was going to give it to them where they walked. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. What are the two biggest weapons that the enemy has? Fear and discouragement. Fear is too hard. We can't do this. There's giants in the land. It's all too hard. It's like, well, there's, you know what Blackburn's like. Well, you know, it's all too hard. Well, you know, they just don't listen. Well, it's going to rain. If it isn't raining at the moment, it's going to rain. It's going to get worse, you know. Don't be discouraged. It's rubbish. Don't be terrified. The giants are going to fall. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So God said to Joshua, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land. And then he says, be strong and courageous three times. And he says, stay close, stay in the word, stay intimate, because you'll not hear how to get into the land unless you're intimate with the Lord. It says you're really close and listening. So then Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Now, hang on a minute. There's a million people, a whole bunch of sheep, carts, children, pregnant women, and their carts and whatever else, and they're going to go across a large river. Joshua doesn't know how to yet. But God has said, get ready to cross the Jordan. Therefore, there's a way across. So you might not know where you're going, except that the ultimate, well, we're going there. But you might not know how to get there. Don't panic, but go. Where's he saying? Where's he telling you to go? Go there. Because, I mean, just a couple of chapters later on, the Jordan stops. Basically, Joshua does a Moses crossing the Red Sea job. And the Jordan River stops completely, and the whole million people with all their sheep and heaven knows what else cross the Jordan River, big river, on dry land. But Joshua didn't know that before he set off. God said, get ready to cross the Jordan. So, I just feel like the Lord's saying to you, get ready to cross the Jordan. You may not know where you're going. You may not know how to get there, but get ready. It's time. The time of mourning's over. It's time to get ready to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And the final bit was Joshua chapter 2. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent out two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. I'm not recommending you go and spend nights in as a prostitute. But I just feel like you're meant to go and spy the land out, whether that means prayer walking, whether that means just, I don't know what that means. But go and look over the land. Because it'll give you strategy, it'll give you direction as you, if it's a geographical area that you're meant to be in, then walk there. I don't know what this means. I just feel I'm meant to say it. So, there you go. What tribe are you in? What's your identity? Where are you going? The time of mourning is over. It's time to cross the Jordan. Work out what that looks like. I'm done. But I would just like to pray for you. Is that okay? Having been very cheeky, I hope you'll forgive me and forgive Stephen for inviting me. Father, I just thank you for this amazing fellowship. I thank you for the identity that there is here in Christ. Thank you that you love this fellowship so much. And that whatever we feel as a church in Blackburn with Darwin, that this fellowship has a key place, a key part. It's a really important tribe in the town. Father, just thank you for the passion that's here, the longing for your spirit. Lord, those people saw your cloud every day. We want to see the cloud of your glory descend, not just in this building, but on this town. Lord, thank you that there's a move of God in this town, that people are coming back from churches all around the area. They're coming back to churches in Blackburn with Darwin. You're calling people back. You're calling people who are not bothering going to church anywhere. You're calling them. This is Blackburn's time. We just pray you'd send your Holy Spirit, Lord. Not just for this fellowship, not for our fellowship, but for the town. Lord, that the poverty and the low expectations and the hopelessness that is here would be broken by the amazing love of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, you love this town specially. You've not forgotten about us. That this would be the best possible place to start revival, because everyone says, well, it's just Blackburn. 10,000 holes and dodgy football team and it rains and blah, blah, blah. But I just thank you, Lord, for the industry that's here, for the manufacturing that's here, for the history that's here, for the history of prosperity that was here, that you want to restore and you want to eradicate systemic poverty where people just think so low about themselves. And Lord, thank you that you've called your church to restore hope to a dying nation, but also to a dying town. You've called us to restore, to turn back the battle at the gates. Lord, thank you that this is Blackburn's town. And Father, I pray that the revival would start in this fellowship. Why not now? Why not here? Lord, we love you. Lord, we just pray you'd raise us up, raise our hope, raise our expectations. Jesus, thank you for your gospel. We want to give you the reward that you deserve for your suffering. Of people who understand, actually, God is good. He's kind. He's a good dad. He's not mad at this town. He's not angry with people. You've given us the gospel to reconcile people to God. He's not mad at you. He loves you. Give your life back to God. To Blackburn with Darwin, give your life, give your heart back to God. Jesus loves you. There is a forgiveness that is guaranteed in the cross, an eternal life that is guaranteed in the cross. We just thank you for the gospel that is the power of God to salvation. Lord, we pray you'd save this town. Help us to rise up, Lord, to wake up, to seek your face till we hear, what is it you want from us? What is it you want from me? Who did you say I was? Okay, I believe you. What is it you want me to do? Okay, I'll do that. I believe you, not how I feel. In Jesus' name. Amen.